Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, once again, it's time to bring back the Ocean State Theater, and Amy Turner is here. Welcome back, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. It's always great to be here. Appreciate it so much.
Always good to have Amy with us. She is the Artistic Director at the Ocean State Theater, and our special guest today is Greg London. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, thanks.
Nice to have you with us. And Greg is going to be playing in the new production that is opening this Wednesday. Doubt, a Parable, will be opening up, and Greg will be playing the part of the priest. And I guess we'll find out all about that and everything you know.
Yeah, I hope.
Okay. Is this typecasting? Are you really a priest?
No, not really a priest.
Okay. All right. Because you look like you could be a
priest.
Maybe
I should have been, but no, I'm not.
All right. Amy, let's get back to you. Just a little bit about the show before we get to Greg and find out more about him. It's going to open this Wednesday.
It certainly is. It's very exciting.
And tell us a little bit about what people can expect. Is this a toe tapper?
No. As many of your listeners and our patrons understand, part of our mission is to really do at least a 90-degree turn between everything. It's one reason why we alternate between plays and musicals, typically. And so this is very different than a toe tapper. This is an unbelievably complex and intelligent play, also very entertaining. Happens to be written by John Patrick Shanley, who won the Drama Desk Award for Most Outstanding Play, won the Tony Award for Best Play, and also the Pulitzer Prize for Drama.
Wow.
It truly is one of the most important plays of certainly the last decade, if not mm-hmm. the modern era of playwriting. So it's exciting. And I really want to just say that it's the type of play that we love doing, especially on the heels of something like Billy Elliot. So Billy Elliot, we were the professional premiere in the entire state of Rhode Island. It had not been done here before. So it gives me great pride as the artistic director to bring a show that hasn't been here before. And actually, although Doubt has been done at a community theater level in Rhode Island, we are also the professional regional premiere of this play as well. So it's an exciting kickoff to our fifth season.
Excellent. And it is not a musical, for those of you who didn't get that, but we will have music in our show today, which kind of relates to it.
Absolutely.
All right. Greg, let's get back to you, find out a little bit about you. I had the privilege of meeting you as one of the performers in Billy Elliot, right?
Yes.
And so you've been in town for a while, but what is your background? Where did you start off as a child?
Wow. So relevant to your show, and I'm so excited to be here, I started off in my life as a classical musician. You know, my mother was a single mom in a town where she didn't have any friends, so she took me. She found this flyer for Suzuki violin.
Violin, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she took me as a child to a Suzuki class, and mm-hmm. she didn't know what she was getting into at all. And so I sat on her lap as a fat baby and held a tiny violin. And from there, I grew and grew and grew. As you guys who can't see me right now, I'm 6'4", and that happened really fast. You know, mm-hmm. by the time I was 3 years old, I was already a tall kid.
Already 6'4".
Already 6'4". Yeah. So I transitioned early to playing the cello. And played the cello for several years, and then when I was 12, I found a music teacher who recognized that my hands were getting abnormally large, so he moved me to the string bass, and I did my undergraduate degree in string bass and tuba and bass guitar.
Wow.
And I'm a nerdy tuba player. That was kind of by accident. But I finished that, taught for a year, joined the Army, was in the military police in the Army for 2 years, then went to Juilliard for 2 years.
That's makes complete sense.
It's all really, yeah. The flow is natural.
Military police to Juilliard.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. When I got out of the Army, I became a lost soul, and I thought, you know, what am I going to do with myself? And I thought, well, I love music, and I love theater, and I love art, and is there a place that I can do all those things? And I said, it's theater. So I got a friend of mine to coach me on some material to audition, and I went up to New York, and I auditioned for Juilliard, and magically was accepted into the program. And so I did drama at Juilliard and not music. People often think maybe I did music at Juilliard, mm-hmm. which no. I was never that great a tuba player. pretty good, but not great.
But good enough in theater, certainly.
Right, right.
So
and
that's great.
Good enough or not. And I was a country boy, very southern, who went to a very snotty, fantastic school and had some fantastic experiences. But I only stayed there for 2 years for reasons of finances and my family. And then through a mentor who was the head of the acting program at Juilliard, who was also an artistic director at the Shakespeare Theater in D.C., he suggested, you know, if you can't stay at Juilliard, you should go to a program where you can still work with me. And I said, great, I'll do that. And mm-hmm. I went to the internship program at the Shakespeare Theater at the Folger in Washington, D.C., through the University of South Carolina. And I got my master's degree there. And then I went back later and got a second master's degree in contemporary performance from Arizona State. And then I did some plays, and here I am.
You're the most well-educated person we probably have ever had on the program.
It's painfully over-educated, and I can't even fix my car, so there you go.
Yeah, I do think it is interesting, though. I think that may be true. He may be the most educated person I've brought to you, but, you know, I think that people do underestimate the amount of training that most people have, and the experience, especially in Rhode Island, is so typically that people do theater casually and mm-hmm. as a hobby,
right.
But the folks that do it professionally, the training is very intense. Mm. It is not uncommon for us to have half of the cast with master's degrees. Mm-hmm. Certainly, the majority of the cast would have an undergraduate degree. But even if they're not, whether they have a degree or not, the good ones anyway. You know, at least for myself, I'll speak to that. You know, you're always taking class of all kinds,
right.
And a self-educating as
and
well.
I was going to say, and always learning every
reading,
production. You're
anything you can get
new.
Your hands on, yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Well, I have some other questions for Greg that I want to get to, but let's get to a piece of music right now. And you brought some things that relate to the show, to Doubt. And tell us what this first one is going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to let Greg pronounce it. But basically, I just brought some music that I felt supported the beauty of Catholicism. And so much of that beauty, I think everyone, regardless of their faith, agrees, comes so much from the music that, mm-hmm. that supports this. So our first piece is...
It's Duum Pater Familias, which is a 12th century chant asking for God's guidance and direction.
Duum Pater Familias. Res universorum, dona recto vintimos, ius apostolorum, numut ecum frequentia, ante melo divino, perus antiniabrum.
Julius facta gloriosa femini ecclesia.
Well, certainly beautiful music that gets us in the mood. We're talking about Doubt, which is going to be opening this week at Ocean State Theater, Wednesday and Thursday for previews, the big opening on Friday night, and then the thing that I enjoy on Sunday will be the talkback, where you have an opportunity to see the show at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and then immediately following that, Amy and I will be taking the stage, introducing the cast, and taking questions from you, the audience. Amy, the show is going to be opening, and people can get tickets very easily, correct?
Of course, yeah. So I always ask people or suggest that they go onto our website first, oceanstatetheater.org. Not just the show, but all the information is available there. There's also a schedule. There's a seating chart. So if they've never been, they can do a little research on that. Buy your tickets straight off of the website, or mm-hmm. you can give us a call, 921-6800, 401-921-6800. Pretty much the box office opens every day at noon. So we'd love to hear from you. Or of course, if you want to find out where the theater is or talk to somebody in person, you can stop by 1245 Jefferson Boulevard down by the mall exit off of 95.
Right, and for those people, the traditional Rhode Islanders like myself, that's down the end of Jefferson Boulevard near the Greenwood Inn. So that gives you a little bit idea of where it is and what's going to be happening. I'd like to get back to Greg. We talked briefly about the fact that you have quite an extensive background, and one of the things that impressed me a couple weeks ago was at the talk back for Billy Elliot that you were, in fact, the dialogue coach and told people how they could be understood but still give the flavor of the Cockney accent. Was that the correct accent?
No, Cockney accent.
Not Cockney accent.
I had to say that to them, actually, several times. So it was a Geordie accent, which is a northern England accent in the Northumbrian region of England.
Okay, so, and that sounds like
it sounds a little bit like a blend of what we would think of as Irish with a Scottish flavor. They even co-opt words from both languages, it's a very unique sound, I think.
Okay, so if I were to ask you the question and you were in that language, you would answer it kind of like...
Well, the sounds that you would say is, I would say, no, there's no way for you there's no way for you to make a difference between that and a lot of British accents.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even Scotland.
Scotland, yeah. Right. Yeah. And the only difference is, like in the word breaking, we would say breaking. But in Scottish, you would say breaking, and you roll the R very hard. It's the exact same sound, but with the difference of the R. And there are a couple of actors that say, "Yeah, we're not going to roll the R. That sounds like Shrek." But
But now he's had to give up that accent and pull in, because this takes place in the Bronx, and we're very unclear really where any of these characters come from. It's not defined specifically. So we've actually been talking about bringing in sort of a generic flavor of New York, but really not like that.
Not quite. With that exact sound that you made, it'd be hard to be the leader of a congregation.
Right. I
Well, and a congregation, but right. not a religious congregation.
Right. Exactly. Right.
My guys, you know, that's how we talk. So, but you are playing the role of a priest.
Yes, Father Flynn.
Father Flynn, and is it the priest? Is that the only priest in the show?
He's the only male character and the only priest in the show.
There's only four characters in the play, yes, and one priest is represented in the play.
Okay, and so give us, now we know it's going to take place in New York, and tell us a little bit more about what the storyline might be.
So it's 1964, a lot of changes happening in America, generally, across the board.
The Beatles just landed.
They did, absolutely. And an assassination of one of our presidents has just happened. The civil rights movement is in full swing. Mm-hmm. And it's a Catholic school in the Bronx. We know that. It's a St. Nicholas is the name of the school. And it's really a story about the principal of that school, Sister Aloysius, who is concerned about a suspicion that she has about the new progressive priest, Father Flynn, which Greg plays. And in having a conversation with one of her most novice teachers, Sister James, becomes very concerned. And so it's about whether or not this inappropriateness took place. If it did, what was the level of inappropriateness? And if you feel you know what happened, what do you do about it? And if you're not sure that you know what happened, what do you do about it? Mm-hmm. And then the brilliance of the play, I think, is it takes this defined perspective that these three characters have, and it folds in just a generalized overlay of how do you live with doubt in your life? And specifically, how do you live with doubt within faith? And can faith ever really be if you know for sure? So there's a lot of complexities to it. And then the fourth character is the child in question. It's his mother. And at one point in the play, the principal, Sister Aloysius, brings the mother in to find out if she knows anything more concrete that she can add to this. And as somebody very intelligent just said to me in a message wishing us well on this project, that the confrontation scenes in this play are truly perhaps the most complex and meaty and substantive and well-written confrontation scenes that maybe even exist. I mean, I hate to use hyperbole like that, right. But you know, it's really, really good. Well, let's just boil that down.
Let's leave it at that. As we get to try to squeeze in one more piece of music here before we take our first break. This is one everybody might know, correct?
Absolutely. Ave Maria.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Greg and Amy.
Oh,
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we're sitting with Ocean State Theater's Artistic Director, Amy Turner, and the star of Doubt, Greg London, is here. He's playing the priest, and I don't know if the priest is a star or not because I haven't seen the show, but I'm going to call you the star, Greg.
Well, there are four stars in the show.
Four stars. How yes. humble of you.
And humility is one of my vows.
Well, there's a vow, right. Now, is it basically for pretty much equal kind of roles, or is there...
Well, I would say that Sister Aloysius and I carry the meat of the play, mm-hmm. and then Sister James, it's really her story in my mind, because even though she doesn't have as much to do, she is a pivot point for opinion and views, and it really is... You could almost see that the play comes from her perspective in my mind, that she's having to have these struggles back and forth. So the audience and Sister James are having to go through this same kind of experience in my mind. And then the fourth character, she has one scene in the show.
Okay.
But it's a very important scene.
All right.
So everybody, you know, it's a shared...
Well, yeah, I understand that. And you want to give everyone credit. And Amy, are the other actors, people that have been at Ocean State before?
Our the mother, Mrs. Muller, is actually returning, Lovely Hoffman. She takes a 90-degree turn for sure after playing Gary Coleman in our production of Avenue Q.
there you go.
To a 1964 middle school mother for sure. Caitlin Davies is Sister James. She is new to us, okay. although she is a Trinity Brown graduate student, their graduate school. And Donna Sorbello is our Sister Aloysius. It is her debut as well at OSTC, but she's a very well-known and well-respected actress nationally, but specifically from the Boston area. Mm-hmm. She also teaches as well in the Boston area. So it's a very, very strong ensemble. And I think even though there is a different word counts, for lack of a better way of putting it,
right.
you know, everybody plays their part in this for sure. It's the craft of playwriting as well as is demonstrated throughout consistently.
All right. Well, we went a little bit long in our first segment, so we're going to try to pick up a little bit of time here. Let's get to the next piece of music, and then we'll talk again after that. And that's going to be what, Greg?
The next piece of music is the Lacrimosa by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Once again, beautiful music that we're listening to and setting the mood for the play Doubt, a Parable. And is that the official title, Greg, of the show?
Yeah, the full title, most people refer to it as just Doubt, but
right.
It is Doubt, a Parable.
And why is that important?
Well, among the other things that I think the play explores, I think that it's so... intensely relevant to us right now as a society, this play, because it really tackles the fluidity of opinion and fact. And I think we're just inundated with that in the news lately, that we have this opinion, and opinion can become fact, but that's just not the way opinion works. And in the play, we really explore an opinion based on faith, or what are the facts in the play. And the facts are not always leading us in exactly the same direction as an opinion or a feeling or the direction of faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, with all the things that are going on in the media, with right now the election, and there's so many things that are brought up as a matter of fact, as opposed to this is actually an opinion.
He said, she said.
Right. And the play grapples with that notion, but it really, and I heard Meryl Streep say this, and I'll have to give her credit because she's pretty great. So
she said, because she's listening right now.
I hope you are, Meryl. I hope you're, and come and see me. She said one of the things that she thinks the play is about the quality of mercy. And I think that, that's a beautiful notion. You know, what is in our spirit allows us to show that quality of mercy. Mm-hmm. And when in a situation that is tough, do we make that available to people? You know, I just think that's a nice notion.
And Amy, I'm going to try to turn the table a little bit and say that obviously this is an important subject, but you as an artistic director and on the business side of things, how do you convince people, if you will, that this is something that they should see?
Well, I think that is a challenge for every piece, because I think the biggest challenge is that, you know, people want to see what they're familiar with more easily than they want to see that which they're unfamiliar with.
Right. They're going to come and see White Christmas. That's not going to be a hard sell.
I would hope so. I would think so. Yeah. And but I think that it's continually exposing yourself to a new way of thinking. And I can appreciate that historically some people's experiences that they are feeling inadequate watching a play, or unintelligent watching a play, or offended when watching a play. And I think what I would say about this play specifically is that I don't anticipate a single person as a patron coming to see this where they will feel any of those things. I think they might, hopefully, actually intentionally not feel fully convinced, or maybe they will. You know, we did the play Race by David Mamet, which I know is one of your favorites. And the point of the play isn't to preach to you or tell you what the solution is. It's actually to engage in conversation. And I think the other layer of this, where so many of your listeners and so many Rhode Islanders in general, you know, this is a wonderfully traditional state. It's one of the best things about the state as an outsider that I see. And John Patrick Shanley asks the question, what's lost and what is gained when the world changes? And I think that's such an enormous question, because no change happens without the loss of something, but the gain of something else. And that change could be politically, it could be socially, it could be economically, it could be a deeper faith, a loss of faith. You know, it's such a broad question, and it's anyone who's lived very much life understands that it's constantly changing. And I think that's really what the play is about. That's what I think the play is about, and why everyone... Theater is cathartic, and it can get you sort of over humps that in your life, and it can get you to look at something from a new perspective. And I actually don't think this is a particularly challenging play to watch. I think it's a very easy play to watch, but it will bring up potentially some very challenging, thought-provoking emotions about it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, and just to make sure you understand, the music we're playing has nothing particularly to do with the show itself. There is no music in the show. But we're giving you a little bit of background. We'll do one more right now before we take our next break. And what is that going to be?
This is Nicene Creed. And I think the music, you know, it does take place in the Catholic Church setting. And, you know, to bring in the different qualities of music, but the consistency that the music, the example of the consistency of music in the Catholic Church, I think is part of that question of whether change is good or bad.
We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Father,
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Ocean State Theater Company's Amy Turner and our special guest, Greg London, who is playing the role of the priest in the upcoming, because it's coming soon, going to open on Wednesday, Doubt, a Parable, the play. And Amy, there are so many things happening at the theater now all the time. I remember when you first opened your first season, it was like, well, we have a show here and we have a show there. But now it's constant. You have so many things going on.
Tell
us about some of them.
Yeah, great. Well, leading up until the end of the year, at least, as you said, we are going to be doing another holiday musical this year. It will be White Christmas. Very excited about that. Obviously, Irving Berlin music based off of the famous traditional film. And that'll be basically the month of December. But leading up to that, we continue our Family Fun Fest, which is the best way to introduce young children to the magic of theater. All the tickets are just $10. And on November 12th, Saturday, we have the Airborne Jugglers. They're back in a return engagement. People love them. Very interactive with the audience. And on December 10th, also on Saturday, A Charlie Brown's Christmas is a great way to start off your month. And that's with a collaboration with our OSTeen company. And for those folks that know the pretty famous Rhode Islanders, the Edwards twins, we've actually added a matinee. We'll be doing two performances on December 7th of their show, Christmas with the Stars. They're a pretty talented, to say the least, set of twins, and they do impersonations, not just of male and female impersonators, and like anybody you can think of, Elton John, Cher, Bette Midler,
Celine
Dion, Andrea Bocelli. It's crazy. They're that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show. All right, so those some things, but I guess the best way for people to not only get tickets for these things, but information, is to go to the website, check out all the things that are happening there at the theater. And just want to get back to the show that's opening this week. It'll open on Wednesday and Thursday for previews, and then Friday night, the big opening of Doubt, a Parable. And where do we go musically from here, Amy, so we can get another piece of music in that relates to Doubt?
Yeah, so since this is a play without music, we did look to the movie, which of course is scored completely, and so I've chosen to bring the title theme from the film Doubt, and this piece of music is by Howard Shore.
From the movie theme for Doubt, a Parable. And Greg, I want to get back to you and talk about One of the things that I was going to ask Amy earlier, the Catholicism part of the show, Rhode Island being the most Catholic state in the United States, is that important to know, or does it make any difference?
Yeah, another piece of my childhood that I didn't mention is I went to a Catholic boarding school from first to seventh grade, so it's something that I'm really familiar with. I think it is very important to Catholics. Not only do you immediately, Catholics of a certain age, you know, I'm 50 years old, so it's...
I thought you were 30.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Whatever you need me to clean your office, I'll do that when we're done. But, immediately, the feel of the Catholic Church is so specific and relevant to this play. I think that it points up so many of the issues beautifully that are happening at this transition in time in 1964. There are the issues of hierarchy, which is such a part of the Catholic Church. You know, the priest gets to have authority over this nun, but the issues of the school then need to have priority over, for this boy's well-being, has to have priority over this priest. And so those things are pointed up because it's in the church. You know, it makes it much more valuable, a place to be.
Is there a point in this where I grew up, my mother was Catholic and my father was not, so I kind of was a half and half guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I always looked at the church in the 60s as completely, you do not question anything. The priest is absolute.
And right. I think that that's definitely one of the points of it being in the Catholic Church. You know, the priest is the authority. The church is the authority. But also, this child and this education of this child and the well-being of this child then becomes the authority in this nun's position. It is really a place for those layers to peel back, you know, and unfold. I think that the church has such a rich history. Any Catholic who comes to see this play is going to feel the relationship profoundly. I think it's a great play for Catholics in the state to come in and see these relationships. And it's not so much, there's so much current press about the church and relationships, and that's not what this play is about. This play is about so many other more important things, and the Catholic Church, people are going to really relate to it. If you come as a Catholic, you're going to see these relationships in question and how it's changed, especially at my age. I love seeing what's happened since 1964 to now in the church. I think that's really fantastic as well.
Right. And Amy, you don't have to be Catholic, right? Obviously.
No, absolutely. I think that everyone, regardless of their religious beliefs now, then, or in the future, the Catholic Church is such a prominent part of our culture, regardless of even if you're Christian
correct.
Or
yeah.
not. Yeah. And I think there's a real understanding. I mean, there's many, many non-Catholics that go to Catholic school. So it really is, the best way I could say it, is a backdrop for this, that it's a shortcut to parameters, it's a shortcut to faith, it's a shortcut to hierarchy, as was just mentioned, and complexity of situation. And so I think that's going to be apparent to everyone, but I do think for Catholics there is a very special bond that is created by the ritualness and the definition of faith within the Catholic Church that will resonate profoundly with Catholics, but it certainly won't alienate non-Catholics.
Catholics will know these people when they see them.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And we won't check any ID cards on the way in the door. All right.
No.
Well, Amy, one more time with box office information.
Yep. So the website is oceanstatetheater.org. We'd love to talk to you if you give us a call at 401-921-6800. And, of course, stop by and visit us, 1245 Jefferson Boulevard, the big blue building.
There you go. Is it blue or aqua?
It's a shade of blue, I think. Aqua,
seafoam. Oh, I like that. I like that. Yeah, seafoam. Yeah. Seafoam ties into the Ocean State Core Theater.
Right. It's ocean colored.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you both for being here. Greg, nice to talk to you and
Thanks
see you
for
again.
Having me.
It was great to have you with us. And Amy, as always, wonderful to have you with us.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. We'll see you all next time after we listen to this last piece of music on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.